gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100 yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast Show. I'm your co-host, Eric. And I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. What up, Ron?
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. Ron, this is week 16, episode 112. And we're doing this on a Thursday night. And it's I know that this is late for us, but there's going to be a lot of games in the coming 7 days.
So yes.
I'm not too worried about that. How are you feeling, Ryan? I know your Pittsburgh lost last week. How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling pretty good. It was a tough game for sure. We'll talk more about it. It's a tough 3-game stretch the Steelers are facing. They've already clinched last week, even though they lost, which is great. The only thing on the line right now is just, you know, trying to win the AFC North. I hope they can do that like this week, but even if they do lose, they still have a chance to clinch the North. So, things are great. It's good that we got off to a good start. We knew it was going to be tough at the end. Still got some players hurt and stuff. So as long as we're healthy by the playoffs, I'm good.
Yeah, that's all that matters, is healthy when it counts. And we always start off with the NFL news, and we'll have our week 15 recap. We'll do our predictions, our team's predictions, our upset special, and then we'll end up with the power rankings. And Ron, let me start off, because you came in and you told me about all this Jet drama. So what is going on? Why is Woody using Madden? What's going on?
Yeah, some crazy news popped off like today about Woody Johnson and some of the interesting decisions that he made along the way. This has been validated by multiple people within the NFL. So sounds like there the previous GM, Joe Douglas, he had an offer on the table for Jerry Jeudy in the offseason. They wanted to bring a receiver in to pair with Rodgers prior to the beginning of the season. But it was nixed by the owner, Woody Johnson, because he didn't like Jeudy's Madden rating and didn't think it was high enough. So he said, we're not going to go after that player. On top of that, there was some additional reporting that came out later on about some of the behavior in the locker room, and how like he and his family, his teenage sons, would treat some of the players. It sounded like, they were just like douchebags. I don't know how else to put it. Complete douchebags to a lot of the players in the locker room. So,
I mean, first of all, great recruiting tool. Nothing says you've been watching that player than your Madden ring. Second of all, why would you want to work for somebody like that?
Yeah.
Somebody that who just nicks any trade based on his instincts, which is based on Madden rating. So it's like, do you really feel bad for Robert Saleh now?
No.
Because he had to deal with all that stuff.
Yeah. I think any coach who is going to look at that opportunity is going to stop and pause to say, is this the type of environment I want to, not only myself, but my coaches, do I want to bring them in to be part of this? Because it's hard. I mean, we talked about how hard it is to like build strong teams and change the culture of losing teams. There's a reason why teams have losing cultures, and it generally starts with, at the top. And if your owner has their kids bad mouthing some of the players, Jets players, in the locker rooms after games, if that's what's happening, and the players, I mean, what can they do? They can't say anything, right? Then that's a horrible environment, and it's just a poor leadership all the way at the top. And it's going to be difficult for anyone to come in there and change that culture with that going on.
toxic. We know we talk about toxic relationship, but toxic owner is what we're talking about. So Mahomes will play Saturday.
Shocker.
With the, high ankle sprain. I don't.
I've seen some stuff on Twitter X about how, you know, people are so frustrated. They think he fakes his injuries at this point. That's where it's at right now.
I mean, he's not going to, I don't think he's missed a game in a long time, at least not. So like, why he's limping. So what? Everyone limps at the end. It's December football. I mean,
should he play? Would you play him?
I mean, they're still playing for number one seed, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I guess he should play. I mean, getting an extra week off is huge. So yeah, I don't feel bad. I'm just like, why make it into this whole big deal? It's like, I don't know.
Well, he's the
face of the NFL.
Face of the NFL, right? If it was Brady, it would have been the same thing back in the day. So he goes down. Any little hit he takes, it shows up on SportsCenter. So,
I know.
And I don't want to say he milks it, but I mean, I've seen so many times in game, you know, he's like, oh, I'm hurt. And then like, you know, 5 minutes later, he's back in the game.
Well, he's not like Josh Allen. Like, he just, every time you touch him, he just jumps back like 5 feet in the air. This one kind of shocked me, Ron. Montgomery says he might come back for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So do you see that happening? I mean, Detroit is definitely going to be in the playoffs no matter what. But do you see Montgomery playing in the playoff?
I think he needs to for that team to have success. Yeah. You know, Gibbs is good. But the 1-2 punch that Montgomery offers is like, you know, it's huge. So there are going to be games where they're going to need him. And it sounded like he went out for a third opinion to get the approval to potentially come back later on in the season. So they need him. At the end of the day, they're going to need him when it hits playoff time. Playoffs are hard. That's why, you know, they were bounced last year. So I'm sure Montgomery feels like he wants to be there. They have a really good opportunity to make a run at the Super Bowl. But they're going to need him. So,
yeah. And I mean, listen, once you go under the knife, that's it. Game over. So I commend him for holding off, but geez, this is like a do or die situation for Detroit now. They have like at least a dozen guys on injury reserve.
Yeah, entire defense
basically. So it's like, that's not what the issue. Offense is not the issue. So are they planning on outscoring people like Buffalo Bills style? Just like, we're going to score more points than you at the end of the day.
Yeah, it didn't work last week.
And then that's for sure. So Watt says he's okay to play Saturday.
Well, he says we'll give it a shot. We'll see. They're non-committal whether or not he's going to play.
I mean, you have that Saturday game and then 4 days later, basically, you have the Christmas game.
Yeah. So, and his is a low ankle sprain. But he was back at practice, limited participant, I think, today. You know, I don't know what percent he'll be at, but if I was to guess, I want to say that he's going to be out there because it's an important game. But I honestly think, you know, we have a better chance of winning. Well, we don't win when he's not playing. So he needs to play for us to have a chance. But I think missing Pickens is a bigger deal. Not having him out there is going to be huge. So, you know, we'll see.
So these two games coming up, Baltimore, Kansas City, do you win both of them? Or do you go 1-1 or do you go 1-2? Like, what's your prediction about these two games?
Listen, I said a few weeks ago, I think when we had 5 games left, that we'd go like 2-3. I thought we'd beat Philly. That didn't happen. I thought we'd take out Baltimore. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't want to jump too far ahead into our picks for this week, but I don't see that happening. So, I mean, I had us losing to Kansas City, but that was with Mahomes being healthy. I had us losing to Cincinnati. You know, that's assuming they're in, still in the playoff hunt, right? They're going to have all their guys playing if they're still in the hunt. If not, then that's a different story. So these next three games, you know, we'll see what happens this week. If Cincinnati wins and they're still in it, you know, I think it'll be a struggle that last week. But I think Kansas City, that's a game that we could potentially win because they're not playing good football right now offensively. The defense is great, but if we can get Pickens back for that game on Christmas, then I think we got a legitimate shot of beating them.
Because I'm looking at the schedule prediction that we did at the beginning of the year, and we both have Pittsburgh losing three games in a row. I think you're right. I think that Kansas City is much more beatable, more winnable game, but you have to have everyone healthy. Pickens, Watt, and then you mentioned a couple more guys, right?
Elliott, on the defensive side, Okunjobi has to play, you know, and those guys need to be, you know, not like 70%, 80%. We need those guys like fully healthy.
This is going to be a battle, Ron. It's going to be a battle. Ron, I'm still winning 149 to 142. You picked up two games.
I'm coming.
So I'm up by 7 points right now.
It's the comeback.
So you really feel that way about...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that this fight still left. And you just put down the... So this game against Pittsburgh, and I'm talking about week 15 now, against the Philadelphia Eagles. What went wrong was not having Pickens there went wrong.
I think that was part of it for sure. We got off to a slow start as we always do. I thought the play calling in the game was, especially the beginning of the game, was just horrendous. I think it took like up till fourth quarter, for example, to throw a slant pattern and to throw a receiver screen. We were just running into a loaded box and we were unwilling to make any adjustments whatsoever. Arthur Smith was just, this was probably his, I keep saying this was one of his worst games as a coordinator. I don't think he came out with the right game plan. And then, I think he waited too long to make adjustments. But even without all that being said, it was a winnable game. There were some mistakes for sure, with Najee fumbling when we were down one score. We had, you know, some horrific, like horrible officiating in the game, some penalties against the Steelers that should not have been called whatsoever, that held us back. So I'm comfortable with the way they played. Should they have tackled better? Absolutely. They missed a lot of tackles on defense. Their secondary did. But, you know, given the circumstances, I'm not all too upset because Philly is probably, what would you say, like top three team?
Top three team.
For sure. So, and we're shorthanded, right? TJ got hurt at 1.2. So I'm not going to like cry over it. I wish, you know, our guys were healthy. I wish Arthur Smith adjusted a little bit more because, you know, last week, what did I say? I think we match up really well against this team, and we did. I think we showed that. I think now they out-physicaled us, but, you know, at the same time, it was, for the most part, a one-possession game most of the way, and we were in it, but just like we either self-destructed with the fumble or... The officiating was so terrible. It like kicked us out of like field goal range, stopped like drives to score touchdowns and stuff like that. It was just bad.
Yeah, I mean, from what I saw most of that game, it was like for some reason it seemed like the Steelers defense wasn't prepared for Jalen Hurts running the ball. Because they I don't think that you guys had a spy on him. And he just like 45 yards is a lot of yards. I think they ended up with like 160 yards total, but
Yeah, but I mean, we got to him a couple. There were a couple times that it could have been sacked. We stopped him like a 1 yard. He dragged us like, you know, for a 1 yard gain, 2 yard gain. So I don't think we necessarily, like, you got to choose your poison with them, to a certain extent. You either stop Barkley or, you know, you stop Hurts. And I think there was really only one time we lost contain and we let Hurts go, you know, get a decent run. Outside of that, I thought they did a pretty good job stopping him. Now, again, we just didn't tackle. They didn't tackle well. They had chances, third and long, second and long, so on and so forth, to make stops, and they just didn't.
Ron, the other thing that I noticed was that the time of possession.
Yeah, they dominated.
They was dominant almost twice, 39 minutes to 20 minutes.
Yeah. In the fourth quarter, I think we had like two total possessions in the second half, which is ridiculous. It was a one score game. We needed to get a stop. Tomlin, inside the Eagles territory on a, I think it was like 4th and 7, opted to punt instead of like going for it. There's still a lot of time left, but he expected them to get a stop, and they just drove right down the field. We never got the ball back. So, they dominated. Like I said, and it wasn't necessarily Barkley going off or Hurts going off, with long runs or anything. It was just short completions, missed tackle, short completion, missed tackle, and they were able to convert a lot on third down, and we could not get off the field, and it ended up killing us. So,
yeah, I mean, the Steelers were 3 for 10 on third downs compared to the Eagles were 10 for 27. I mean, and there was a lot of like, long third.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Third and 11.
There was one. It was like 1st and 20 or 2nd and 20. I forgot what it was, but Eagles had a penalty. We could have like moved them back to 1st and 30. That's what it was going to be. We could have moved them back 10 more yards for 1st and 30. Tomlin said, no, let's just, let's keep them at 2nd and 20 and not give them an extra down. The very next play, we almost got the freaking first down, So again, just like defensively, our secondary just covering, there were some opportunities to cover better. Definitely opportunities to tackle better, and that is honestly like summer camp stuff, right? That's stuff that should have been cleaned up in the preseason. Can't have missed tackles like that during the regular season.
And Tomlin pumped this game up. I saw the press conference about like, oh, this is for the state championship, blah, blah, blah. We should play this game halfway, blah, blah, blah. So in my mind, I think he thought that this game was winnable.
It was a winnable game. At the end of the day, like I said, most of the game, it was a one possession game. We could have won the game.
I don't know because you guys didn't score all of the second half. It was 0-0.
Yeah, but what was the score at halftime?
At halftime, 17-13.
Yeah, and that was at halftime after the official called double penalties on the Steelers, where the guy from the Eagles was literally throwing punches. Two of the guys from Eagles throwing punches. And he tells Tomlin, yeah, we didn't see anyone throwing punches. We got penalized, two personal fouls.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't want to blame the refs for that because...
How can you not blame the officiating for that?
Because it's home cooking. Anywhere you go, you know you're going to get that home cooking
crowd. That was a horrific call. It took points off the board. It took an opportunity for them to score a touchdown. And
that happens to almost every game.
It happened. I know it happens, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about officiating, but the calls were egregious. Like, that call was bad. There was another time where Jalen Carter, I don't know if you saw it, but he literally took a swing and hit Hayward over the head, right? And they threw the flag, and it should have been our ball because we were punting, right? And the official said, no, the ball was punted. The foul occurred after the ball was in the air. You go back and look at replay, and you could clearly see him take a swing, hit them in the head, and the ball is like kicked shortly after. Like that, I don't understand like how I can understand how the official on the field might, it's like a bang bang play, right? You might get that wrong. You threw the flag because you saw him take a swing at him. But I don't understand how you can't go to New York and say, okay, I see that the foul occurred before the punt was even made. That was a difference of Steelers retaining possession, right? They got to keep the ball first down at like the, I think it would have been the Eagles like 30 yard line. Instead, that was a punt to them, right? And they got the ball, you know, they were inside like their 5 yard line or something like that to start the game because of the penalty. But that should have been our ball, and we didn't get it. Those are two egregious calls.
That all happened in the first half. So
regardless, but that I'm not making excuses, right? They dominated us in the trenches physically. We missed tackles. Najee had the, you know, with one possession game, he had the fumble while we were driving. So, and we got, like I said, the game plan was just terrible from beginning, you know, to end.
Yeah,
Eagles deserved.
Yeah, Eagles, I mean, that doesn't mean that the Steelers are a bad team.
Right, Pittsburgh was in it, and it was a winnable game.
Yeah.
It was. We just did everything. We didn't do our part. The Steelers didn't do their part to win. And he let the officials make some terrible calls, which led to you losing.
The other game, Patriots at Arizona. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Ron. When I did the whole like box, I did not have the Patriots game on one of the boxes because I knew that this was going to be a terrible game from the start, and it was just like prediction. It was just like, well, here are the penalties. Okay, here are the we don't have enough players. Other than Drake May doing some Drake May stuff, it was not enough for them to win out. And it was, the defense was horrible, Ron. No sacks the whole entire game against Kyler Murray, which is a guy who likes to break out of the pocket. That's his thing. But there was nobody there for like waiting for him. There was nobody there. And James Conner just did whatever he wanted to. I went 110 yards. Every time that the red zone channel flipped, it was like James Conner just had a big play. He had a long one of 53 yards. And one of the reporters asked Peppers afterwards, like, hey, what happened in that play? And he flat out said, oh, we just didn't tackle. Like, he didn't say, like, he wasn't trying to, like, give a different story, like, oh, you know, it was really a great run by James Conner. Like, no, we just didn't tackle.
No, sometimes that's all it is. We didn't do our part. I feel like the Patriots are in vacation mode at this point, right? It's just like, let's get these games over with. We don't have anything to really fight for. Let's stay healthy. Let me protect myself and not play hard. That's what's going on, I think, with the defense. I don't see them winning any more the rest of the season, and that's fine because they shouldn't be trying to win either way. The big question for me, two questions. One, don't get hurt, right? It's not really a question, it's a statement. Don't have Drake May get hurt, like a major injury. And two, you could have used this last like 7-8 weeks or so to find out what the hell you have with your two receiving draft picks. Instead, I don't know whether Polk is going to be a good player. I haven't seen Baker at all. So are we saying like they're not part of your plan going forward and they're not going to do anything next year? I mean,
at this point, you know, Kendrick Bourne is getting a lot of play time. Then you have other receivers. Keyshawn Boutte is getting a lot of play time. Then you have, like, for some reason, all the other players, like Marcus Jones, he plays defense. Why is he getting some playing time on offense?
But that's,
like,
what I'm saying. You're telling me that the two guys you drafted are so bad, you can't get them a reception?
I don't know what's going on. And like Mayo just threw Van Pelt under the bus this week. because he didn't like the plays, but he actually made a comment to reporters about Von Pelt not calling the plays that he wanted. So I'm like, are you the head coach? Can you just veto and be like, I don't like that play? But nope.
He's gone, right? At the end of the season?
I mean, at this point, I don't know what they need to save face. Like, I can already tell that he was setting up the table to get rid of Van Pelt. So whatever happens at the end of the season, Mayo is going to blame Van Pelt for like, oh, you know, he was in charge of developing Drake May, so he was in charge of the plays. Oh, well.
Yeah, well, you're in charge of the defense, too, and there's some question marks there.
A lot of question marks. So we don't know. We don't know. And they're going back and forth like, oh, does he deserve another year or not? I don't know. Like, now that you have this diamond in the rough, do you want Mayo to, like, polish it and make it shine? Or is he just going to be like, this is all the offensive coordinator. I have nothing to do with this development. I just don't know. It's like up in the air. So let's talk about week 16, Ron. This game is going on as we speak, so we're not going to dive into it, but we both picked Denver to win this game. So we'll see what the outcome is.
Yep, against the Chargers. Chargers, a 2.5-point favorite, have a lot to play for, right? 8-6 right now. They're in the playoffs if it was to end today, but they could find themselves, if they don't finish well, outside, right? They can still be outside the playoffs if they go on a losing streak here, I'd imagine.
Well, they lost last week, right? So right now, right, so this is their second game. They lost two games in a row already. So they cannot afford to lose this game.
Yeah, so they are sitting here 8-6, 2-2 in the division, 5-4 in the conference. Let me see what they have left on their schedule. So they got Denver today. They got the Patriots. I imagine they win that. And then the Raiders. So
very winnable games left.
Yeah.
But they need to win this one to, like, stay alive in the division.
Yeah, they got the 7th seed right now, so.
Yeah, and Denver, we'll see what Denver has in store for them. So let's jump into the Saturday games. No games on Friday. Saturday, Houston Texans that doesn't sound right. Is it Texans at Kansas City Chiefs? Oh, because I'm confusing it with a Christmas game. 3.5 is a KC spread. 41.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I had this game, Houston, until I saw Mahomes was cleared to play. And honestly, I don't trust Houston, period. I think they are the worst. How many wins they got? 9 wins team in the league right now. Their offense is just suspect. And Kansas City defense is pretty good. So give me Kansas City to win this game.
Yeah, I have Kansas City as well. When we just talked about Mahomes at the beginning of the show about how, like, he does this every year. Like, he does. I don't know if he's playing possum or what it is, but I'm not buying it. So give me Kansas City. Sunday matchup. We'll skip the other game for the Sunday matchups. Giants at Falcons. Falcons are favored by 9.5 points. Is it the Penix?
Yes.
The Penix game? Do you think that he'd affected the spread?
Is this right? Is that?
Looks high. Let me just double check. 42.5 is the point spread. Ron, what's your prediction on this game?
It is 9 points. Wow. So I will take Atlanta to win. I don't know what's going on with the New York Giants quarterback situation, who's playing, who's not, but Atlanta needed the spark. So they made the switch to Penix, which is very interesting. Probably should have talked about that a little bit. Penix is a better quarterback right now. I don't need to see any more. I do think Cousins, there's like some injury going on there. That's why he's played so poorly. But Penix, from what I've seen in college and little, very, very little I saw in the preseason, gives them a better chance to win. So I think Atlanta will win this game. I don't think they cover that spread, though. That's a lot for a rookie quarterback playing his first game.
Why, Ron, wait to make the change now and not? Because I brought this up 2 weeks ago, and yeah. I said, why not change Penix? Why
money. You're paying all that money for Cousins? You got to see. You can't make a quick, rash decision.
But he won last week.
Who?
Atlanta won last week.
Did they win?
Against the Raiders, yeah.
Yeah, but he played horrible game. That was a terrible game, period.
So would you rather have him play the Giants or the Raiders? I don't know.
They're
both bad teams. So it's like,
but just stick with Cousins. He has to play better. He hasn't played well. So you're saying stick with Cousins?
Yeah, because he just won against the Raiders. But he has another bad team coming up. This is his chance to, like, get better.
Three chances to be better, and he hasn't.
He won for one.
That's why they stuck with him. They stuck because they're paying him a lot of money. They want to see if he can work his way out of it. And he just looks like completely lost out there. So he's not seeing the field, making a lot of throws late. You know, he just looks like a shell of himself out there right now. So I think they're just saying, we're still in the hunt. Penix gives us a better chance to win, and not just win now. If we're able to make the playoffs, maybe, you know, he can give them the spark that they need, because they need a spark, trust me, on offense.
Oh, they need more than a spark, I think. So you got Atlanta. I also got Atlanta to win this one. The Giants are terrible. Next game, Lions at Bears. Detroit is favored by 6.5. 47.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, Detroit all the way. They're not going to need Montgomery to play to beat Chicago. Chicago is one of the most dysfunctional teams, just like the Jets. So give me Detroit.
So, yeah, but with the Jets, it's like the front office, the owner's dysfunctional. I wouldn't say that about Chicago. You think Chicago has a bad front office?
I don't think it's the front office. I think it's the coaching staff. I think the players have at some point in the season turned on each other a little bit. I don't think they have a voice in their locker room, and certainly not one in their coaching room. They can kind of like get them focused on just playing, you know, playing out the season for next year. So, yeah, that to me is dysfunction.
Yeah, I mean, I still think when it comes to dysfunction,
they're all gone, aren't they?
Who?
After the season?
The coaching staff?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably, most likely. I also got Detroit winning this game. Even with all the injuries, it's still better than the Bears. Next game is the Browns at the Bengals. Bengals are favored by 7.5. 46.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I'm taking Cincinnati. I don't care how bad their defense is. This game is it's going to be bigger than 7.5. So after I get done with this, I'm going to put some money on this game because the Browns are done. They've switched quarterbacks. They had enough of Winston. The Bengals are rolling. They still feel that they're in it, and they're going to go out and try to demolish the Browns. And, you know, I don't see the Browns even having a remote chance of staying within 8 points.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the 7.5 spread is going to be larger. Bengals have a 2-game win streak, make it 3, which will put them at 7-8. Ooh, it's going to be tight.
They just need to run the table. Yeah, Chargers to lose.
Yeah, they need to run the table. The next game, Ron. And I also got Cincinnati winning this one. Titans at the Colts. Colts are favored at 3.5. 42.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
This is going to be our first game where we disagree. I'm going with Tennessee. I honestly trust the Tennessee defense more than I trust the Colts quarterback, Richardson, to do anything offensively. Other than have maybe a couple runs. Give me Tennessee to win the game.
Yeah, and isn't Mason Rudolph playing this game? So Tennessee wants to win this game. The Colts lost that game, which made the Texans the winner of that division by default, I think. I don't know what they're playing for. I still got the Colts winning this game only because it's a home game. I don't have any statistical, data to prove this. This should be a close game, but Titans, I think that they have a little bit of the edge. I just don't know if, the defense is tough enough for the Colts. Because I like Jonathan Taylor, and I think that mistake that he made, it's happening more often than not. People drop the ball before they cross the plane, but I still like the Colts to win this game, so give me the Colts. The next game is Rams at the Jets. Rams are only favored by 3 points. That's kind of strange. The over-under is 46.5. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, road game for the Rams and all the way across the U.S. to play the Jets, so I can see why it's a low spread. Rams are playing fairly well, at least on offense, so give me the Rams to win this one.
Yeah, give me the Rams to win, and they're going to beat that spread. There's no, with all the drama and dysfunction that's going on with the Jets, there's no way that they can put a series together to even score one touchdown. So give me the Rams to win this one.
You think they win the division?
The Rams? I think so. I think this game, and we'll talk about the Seahawks-Minnesota game, but I think they're going to cement themselves as a division winner, and they're going to get a home game out of it. So, Eagles at Commanders is probably the number one game to watch other than the Steelers-Ravens game. Philly's 3.5 spread, 45.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I kind of went back and forth with this one, too. But I go back to last week and what I was saying about the Steelers. The Steelers were in the game for the most part. Just couldn't get stops at the end without George Pickens, right? And the offense playing miserably. Washington's offense is no joke. It's not going to be the same for Philly where they could just keen on the run and that's it. And Washington isn't going to run the ball at you at 8-9 man front and not adjust. So I think I'm going with Washington here to pull off a slight upset. I think they're going to humble Philadelphia a little bit. And Jaden Daniels is going to have one of his best games here.
Yeah, I think this is going to be Philadelphia. They're going to win the division anyways, but I think that this is the statement game where they say this is our division, not yours. Go back to DC. Oh, wait, this game is in DC, so it's not far away for them. I'm just thinking that game against Pittsburgh, obviously they showed that if they played well, they can dominate. I still haven't seen them do a complete game, 3 quarters maybe, but not a complete game. And it's Saquon Barkley. Is he going to play this game? Oh, so yeah, give me Philly to win this one. The next game, Cardinals at Panthers. Cardinals are favored by 5. 47.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I'm going with Arizona. I don't know about this game, to be honest with you. Carolina, I don't know what's going on with that team. Like 1 week or a couple weeks, they were playing well. And then the last couple weeks are not. So I'm taking Arizona. I don't trust Arizona at all. I wouldn't put money on this game. Give me the Cardinals to win.
Yeah, I also liked Arizona. But then today, during the press conference, they told Kyler Murray that what the temperature is going to be in Carolina. And he was like, oh, wow, I didn't know. Dude, you play professional sports all across the country. What did you think that? Everywhere you play is going to be 80 degrees? They were like, yeah, it's going to be 39 at kickoff. And he almost ran out. I was like, this guy the epitome of like not your leader. So this is a game run. Vikings at the Seahawks. Vikings are favored by 3 points. 42.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you pick?
I picked Minnesota. I went back and forth with this one too. I think Geno is trying to work his way back to play. He's a full participant, I'm reading today at practice, so I'm assuming he's going to go. I feel like I should change this knowing that, but I'm not going to because I know he's not 100%. So give me Minnesota to win.
Yeah, I was disappointed in the game last week against Green Bay, right? Where right from the start, Green Bay just laid down the law and just said, you guys, you're not going to stop the run, so might as well just... And they just ran and ran and ran, and they couldn't stop it. And I was just like, wow, I thought the defense was supposed to be better. Instead, it was like Josh Jacobs all the way. But then I started to think, like, is it Josh Jacobs because Love is not 100%? Like, I couldn't figure out why, you know, why not more Love and less Jacobs. But it is what it is, right? I have Minnesota winning this game. And I think that combined with the Rams win and this Minnesota win, I think Seattle just packs it up. I think they're just not good enough. Not good enough, especially in that division where if you lose at home and that was a home game against Green Bay, you're not good enough. So
3-2 in the division already. Seattle is. Rams are 3-1. Both teams are 8-6. So it's right there. It's up in the air.
The next game, Jaguars at the Raiders. Raiders are favored by 1.5. 40.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you pick?
I went with the Raiders. I don't trust Mac Jones whatsoever. Aiden O'Connell, I believe, is back playing quarterback. He's healthy now, or healthy enough to play, at least, it sounds like. Give me the Raiders to win this one.
I picked Jacksonville last week because I thought they were good enough to beat the Jets. I picked them again this week because I think they're good enough to beat the Raiders. Now I don't know anymore because Mac Jones is so bad. So bad. I was trying to like give him like some hope that maybe he's good enough to beat the bad teams. Can't even do that. And if he can't beat the Raiders, who are top bottom three, right? I don't know what else to say, but again, give me Jacksonville to like win this one. But 1.5 sounds about right. This is a 4:25 game. Niners at Dolphins. Miami's favored by 1 point. 44.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you pick?
This is like a toss-up game to me, but I went with San Francisco. I know like they're on like their fifth running back or something like that. I don't care. Give me San Fran to win. I think they're a better coached team. They got better. More talent on their team. And I honestly think, I feel like Miami's just like, they're also like, even though they're still not mathematically out, they're like, let me just get the season over with.
I mean, I would have gone with San Francisco, but this is a season from hell for them. That Debo not catching balls now, he's like, had the dropsies. Like you said, they have no running back. The defense is hurting. I know they got one of the linebackers back, but I don't think that's enough. I got Miami winning this game is at home. You know, if they win this game, is there life left? Maybe. I don't know. They're in the third defensive coordinator in the 3 years that Mike McDonald's have been there. So this is just not a good team. But I think they can beat the Niners, I think. Next game, Bucks at Cowboys. This is the Sunday night game. The Tampa Bay's favored by 4. 48.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, give me Tampa to win this game. You know, I don't know what I'm looking at the standing right now. They're 8-6. Atlanta's at 7-7. I'm assuming Atlanta's going to win this week and get to 8-7. So they won't quite clinch it yet, but give me Tampa Bay to win this week.
Yeah, I got Tampa Bay winning this game, and it might be a shootout. It might not, because, you know, Tampa Bay defense is not good. Let's be honest, it's not good. They miss tackles. They give up the big plays. It's just not good. But they have Mayfield on the other side, so it's almost like that they're like the NFC version of the Buffalo Bills. They just scored a lot of points, so they're going to outscore you. I think they're going to outscore Dallas, so give me Tampa Bay to win. 4 points, maybe it's a tighter game than 4 points, maybe 3 points. This is the biggest spread this week. Saints at Packers. This is a Monday night game. Packers are favored by 14.5. 42.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
So who's the Saints' best player? Offense.
Kamara.
Not playing. he's not playing. Not only is Green Bay going to win, I have a feeling they're going to cover that spread. I know it's a huge spread too, but Saints offense, they got literally nothing left. Give me Green Bay to win pretty easily.
Are they going back to Rattler, right? Or
yeah, I think so.
They signed off for the other guy and they were like, no, we'll just go back. So it's like they don't even like their own quarterbacks. So who's
going to... Rattler's a rookie. I mean, what can you do?
And it was the other guy a rookie too?
I have no idea. I never heard of him, to be honest.
Never heard of him either. Yeah. Yeah, Green Bay should dominate this game. It should be an easy victory if there is one. Ron, let's talk about our teams. And let's talk about New England at Buffalo. This is the second highest spread. It's 14 points. 46.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I had a massacre and I changed the score a little bit to make it a little bit closer, but it's still not close. Give me Buffalo 38, New England 17. And I feel like I'm being a little bit gracious with the 17 points. It can be like a 40-10 game. But I want to say 38-17, Buffalo wins.
Yeah, I predict this game should be over by halftime. Like, I predict Allen just not starting the third quarter because this is a blowout. There's a lot of predictions to happen here. And this is the first of two games left with the Bills. So I have the final score 35-21. And 21 points might be like garbage points, like fourth quarter, like, oh, we're playing Buffalo's third string defense, son. I don't know. I just, this is a mismatch if I see one. The Packers Saints is definitely the mismatch of the week, but this is definitely the second mismatch. And this might, you know, depending on what the outcome of that Giants Falcons game, we might move up in the draft. So who knows? I'm just saying, I think I sent to the group chat with that.
Yeah.
Everyone is predicting Hunter Henry and Travis Hunter. And I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I don't blame him because Drake May needs help. The next game, Pittsburgh at Baltimore. This is a Saturday night game. 6.5 is the spread. 45.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Pittsburgh has owned Baltimore recently. Like, owned them. And initially I had Pittsburgh winning this game. But I, you know, not having Pickens is huge. TJ Watt still questionable if he plays. It looks like he's leaning towards playing. We'll see what happens there. Even with him, I think this is going to be a different game. Partially because, again, Pickens not on the field. I question Arthur Smith and his coaching. Give me Baltimore to win 26-21. So I got them winning, you know, by 5 points.
I got Baltimore winning as well, 24-17. But it's almost like I think Pittsburgh scores a 17 points maybe in the second half. I don't know. It's just like Pittsburgh always starts low, or like you mentioned earlier, there's some kind of weird, you know, referee call that pushes back. It's a scoring killer when you're like in the 20-yard line, but now you have to go back 10 yards because of a dumb penalty or some kind of home cooking penalty. I don't know. It was almost like Tomlin should like tell the guys, hey guys, in the first half of these away games, there's going to be some crazy penalty that goes against us that is unexplainable. So just be prepared. That's about to happen. And I think that this is going to happen in Baltimore. Is Lamar, has he looked good? Yes. But it hasn't been against good teams. It's been like the Giants, the Browns. I want to see him like actually look good against good teams, but I think that they should win this one, especially at home in Baltimore. We're not going to do any upset specials because Mize is playing as we currently speak, and we already talked about yours. So let's jump into the power rankings. Ron, who made your power rankings this week?
So at the top, I have Philly at number one, right? I think they deserve to be there. Detroit was there last week with their loss. And then with all the attrition they've had, I think there's questions about how good that team is going to be with all their injuries, especially on the defensive side. So I got Philly at number one. I moved Buffalo up to number two. They were at number four last week. Kansas City, I played with having them lower, but I still needed to, you know, I put them at number three. I don't think you can put them anywhere lower than three with given their record. Minnesota's number four. I got Detroit. I dropped them to five. Green Bay's at six. I got Pittsburgh right now at seven. Baltimore at eight. Washington at nine. And then into my top 10 is Denver. I got the Chargers they moved out of my top 10.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you can flip-flop Buffalo for Philadelphia because I put Buffalo first because of Josh Allen, but then that defense is so suspect. If I compare the Buffalo defense to the Philadelphia defense, I would take the Eagles defense every day of the week. So you can flip-flop those two if you want, but I got Buffalo first, Philadelphia second, Kansas City third. Detroit dropped all the way to fourth place. They're still going to win games. I just don't know if they're going to go deep in the playoffs now with all those injuries. Minnesota, I got a number five. Pittsburgh, I got a six. Green Bay, which took Seattle out with that victory last week.
You finally got them in.
Well, that was a road victory that basically put them on the map. Sunday night, they went out. Josh Jacobs I was really impressed by the way they played. I got Houston at number eight, Denver at nine, and Tampa Bay at number 10. I had them last week. They won, so they deserve to be there this week. Ron, what do you have to say to the Steelers fans, the ones that are panicking right now?
There's no need to panic. We've already clinched a playoff, so there's really no need to panic. You know, it's just right now, let's just stay healthy and try to get clinched this weekend. If not, then we still got another opportunity next week and the week after, right? So we still got a chance to win the division. I think having a home, at least one home playoff game would be great for Pittsburgh. But, you know, if we don't win this game, it's not the end of the world. You know, I just want us to be healthy, especially since, you know, we got like, what, 5 days rest until Christmas. So 4 days rest. So, you know, let's just try to get through these next few weeks. And let's prepare, keep our guys healthy. And I think the team should be preparing for the playoffs at this point.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to go on the road or do you want that division win?
I want the division win.
Yeah, I think that because playing at home, there's a high chance that you nix that playoff losing streak.
Yeah. Honestly, if I look at the teams that are in the playoffs right now, the only team that I do not want to go play at all, I don't want to play them at home or on the road, is Buffalo. But outside of that, I mean, Houston, whether at home or on the road, they'll scare me. Baltimore doesn't scare me at home or on the road. Denver doesn't scare me. The Chargers, we've already beaten. Those two teams we've beaten. So, you know, it's all about seeding and, you know, where you end up. If we can avoid playing the Bills, that would be great. But if we have to go play them, then so be it.
I mean, right now, the way it looks like, if the Bills hang out to number two, they will play the Texans, right? As long as they don't jump up in the seeding.
No, Texans would have they'd have a home game. So Bills would play, who would they play? They'd be number two playing the number
five or six. Because you know those bottom three go on the road, so no matter what. Yeah, it's gonna come down to like who has the most, because I don't think the Chiefs and the Bills, I don't think you can move them out of that spot.
Yeah, I don't think you can move them out of the first two spots. Like,
yeah,
you know,
because they're there. The schedule. I mean, you got the Patriots twice. You got the Jets in there, or Miami in there. It doesn't matter. So it's like they're gonna hang on to that two spot. For the Patriots, listen, this is 4 games in a row now that they've lost. Their point differential is -99 in the division. Is there somebody better than Mayo out there? Yes, of course they are. Is Bill Belichick one of them? No. We just found out that he took a job with USC, and I don't think he would come back. Is Brabel out there? Yes. Is Ben Johnson out there? Yes. Do you think that Ben Johnson would make a lateral move and be like, oh, I want to be a Patriot? Yeah, lateral, and just be like, I want to be a offensive coordinator for the Patriots. No. He wants the head coaching job. So Mayo may come back next season with a different offensive coordinator. I just don't know who that person is going to be. Are they going to hire from within? Are they going to hire outside? Ken Dorsey, is he available? Who knows? I think he's with Baltimore now, right? Something like that. Yeah, listen, I'm just all about the draft stock right now. I'm in draft mode.
Are you looking at like any of the players? How do you feel about Travis Hunter?
He's definitely a once in a lifetime generational pick. So why not? The other twos are going to probably be quarterbacks. So why not take Travis there? Because if you go offensive line, who's the next one? Will Campbell, I think. And he's like the 10th, 8th pick. So, yeah. So, listen. Travis Hunter, get him some help. Obviously, I don't know what's wrong going on with Polk and Baker. Boutte has a chance. Boutte has a chance. Douglas is very, very good player.
I think he has a role to play. You know, he should not be someone that's getting like 90 targets or whatever, but he has a role.
It depends on what kind of offense coordinator. Like, are you going to just run dinks and dunks all day? or are you going to let Drake May go deep? Because he didn't go deep until like the third or fourth quarter. Like, why do you wait so long to unleash? He has an arm. Just use arm. Just use it. But it goes back to like, you don't have the personnel.
Yeah, that or they tell him, hey, tank for Travis Hunter.
Don't you throw deep. Dang it, we need to lose this game.
Well, if the calls were conservative just for that point, then good job on them, because that's what happened. They played like they had something to gain. And what do they have to gain? Draft stock. So, yeah, so just keep Drake May alive. I don't think you have to worry about that with the Bills defense, because they won't. I mean, they'll score a lot of points, and I'm hoping that just Drake May, I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but usually in December in Buffalo, it's very cold. It's not like, you know, throwing weather is what I'm going to say. But yeah, so next week, actually, we record in a couple of days, right?
Because next week,
Well, Monday.
Okay, all right. Good to know.
Today's Thursday. We're recording again on Monday. We'll have episode 113. We'll see how the weekend goes. And again, we're going to be recording while the game is in progress. But you already know what we think is going to happen. It should be a blowout. So it's not like we're going to be missing anything. So until we talk again, I say peace.
Peace. All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's simsportsmedia@gmail.com. Peace. Sim Podcast Show.